Well, good evening. How are you doing? Everybody good? Good. It's so good to see you. I was just telling Chad, that was an awesome set of music. My goodness, I was having the time of my life over there. So I encouraged him for us. Be sure to do that if you see him later. Man, it's good to be here. We're in the middle of a series called Blueprint, and we've been hitting on a couple of different topics here over the last couple weeks. And tonight we're going to lean into something I think is a lot of fun, but also can be a little challenging too. And that is this. Well, let me ask this question first. See if you can answer this. There are two things guaranteed in life. It's death and... All right, cool. So that is a normal phrase. I wasn't sure if that was normal or not. I remembered it. I'm going to add a third. I think that it's death, of course, and it's taxes, which, by the way, tax season, I think it started like today. So go get that done so you're not in trouble later. But I think there's a third one that we could add to that category, and that is change. I think change is inevitable for all of us. Big change, small change. Change is it's just part of life. And we get this, right? If you became a parent, you realize quickly that your life was gonna change, right? Or if you became a parent again, now you have two, or maybe you have three and you got outnumbered and then you just kept going and we don't know why, but I'm just kidding. But you understand that your life changed, or we understand that that little one will eventually grow up to be a teenager, and I'm not there yet, but I can see glimpses of what's coming and I'm praying hard because I'm scared, right? There's change. We think about just life in general. You get your budget together for your family, or maybe you're a young couple and you're navigating finances and you get it all worked out and you just got into your first home, and maybe you've been in there about a year and then something happens that they don't tell you, and that is that the taxes go up and now all of a sudden your payment goes up and you just got your budget just fine-tuned and now you've got to pay more. What is this world? There's change. Maybe it's job related. Maybe you took on a new job or you started a new career. And man, change was absolutely involved in what took you that. Or maybe that job caused you to relocate. And so now you're in a new environment at work, but you're in a new environment at home and you're navigating all of these things. And then maybe change just comes over time with just your life. Your kids grow up, they move on, and then you realize, hey, I'm getting a little older, I'm moving a little slower, I'm starting to look a little different, I'm starting to think about things differently, a combination of wisdom, experience, and maybe a little bitterness, I don't know. But all of these things are coming together, and what we realize, and we could go on and on and on, and that is that change just happens. And it's funny, we know change is coming, and yet it still bothers many of us so much. It's like we knew that was going to happen. We knew that little baby was going to grow up to be a teenager, but dagnabbit, why did it happen? Why couldn't it be like their teenager? I promise their teenager is just as bad as yours. They're just covering it up better, right? And so we know change is coming, that it is inevitable, and yet it can still get us so worked up. I was thinking about this, and there's a really great tennis player. Do I have any tennis fans in the house? Okay, there's usually not. Well, I am kind of, just to be fair, I'm moving a little away from tennis, a little more into pickleball. Any pickleball fans? Okay. I don't know. I don't know who you are, all right? Well, anyways, if you happen to hear this name, the name Roger Federer, many people would argue he's one of, if not possibly, the greatest tennis player to ever play. But I was reading about Roger Federer this week, and I was thinking about change, and I read something that I thought was fascinating, and it might be helpful for you and I, and that is this. In Roger Federer's life as a professional tennis player, he lost 46% of the points that he played in a given match, or over the course of his career. 46% of the time, the point was lost. And yet, the next stat is that he won 80% of his matches. He truly was one of, if not the greatest tennis players to play. But if you pause for just maybe half a second, and you look at that, and you think about it, what that means is if he was emotionally charged and connected to every point that he played over the course of his career, then that would mean that 46% of the time he was playing as a professional athlete, he was likely ticked off because he lost the point. And the other 54%, hope I got that right, the other 54%, he was probably celebrating inside because he won the point. Do you think that really happened? No, as a professional athlete, he understood, particularly a tennis player, he understood that I'm going to lose a lot of points during a given match. What matters is that at the end, I'm standing on top. And there's something there for you and I. Because if we know that change is coming, maybe we can start to approach change a little more like a tennis player might. See, here's the other thing. If Roger or any other tennis player, really any other professional athlete that has down moments in a particular match or a game, if they get so emotionally charged in those down moments or in the positive moments, what happens is they're going to drain energy significantly quicker because emotions tend to burn us out. And so these guys understand something that I think might be helpful for us, and if not for you, then at least for me, that I've got to remember that as I'm navigating life, change is going to happen. And if I anticipate that that's going to take place, maybe I can pull back some of the emotion. Don't get me wrong, some of it can be really big, but maybe I can pull back some of the emotion to where I'm not constantly drained, but rather optimistic and looking forward at what this change might bring. Now, that's a different mindset. But if you think about it for just a second, couldn't that change a little bit of our life, since we know that this is coming? Now, when I think about change, I think change comes really in a couple different categories, but I'm gonna focus on two tonight. I think there's change personally and situationally. Personally and situationally. Now, I wanna focus on personally first. And to do this, what I wanna do is I wanna show you a couple of scriptures, and then toward the end, I wanna show you a couple of stories that we find in scripture that I think can help us have a better grip on how we can process and walk through change in our life, both big and small. And I wanna take just a time out here, a TV time out. Those don't even exist anymore because we are killing commercials and fast-forwarding through them all. But regardless, I wanna take a time out, and I wanna say this to you. Because I know this room is full of people that have been in church a lot of their life, maybe their whole life, but I also know there are folks here that maybe are new to church, maybe you're just kind of taking a small step and you're exploring a little bit, and I just want to say to everyone, the Bible is such a wonderful place for us to learn about how God thinks and how he operates in people's lives. The Bible is full of stories, experiences, words directly from God where he helps us to understand and to navigate this life in which we are living. Now, there may be some of us that are not quite yet Bible believers yet, and that's okay. I hope you'll move to that place at some point when you are ready. But for those of us that are Christ followers, I just want to remind you, this is why we say, hey, read your Bible, dig in there, spend time with God. It's not so that we can check the box per se, but it's so that we can be reminded of who God is and how he works and things he's done in the past so that we might look at those situations and go, I wonder if God might do that in this scenario. I wonder if there's something here. So anyway, that was a little rabbit trail, but I hope that was helpful because it's so important. This book can change your life because it's changed mine. I'm just a walking testament of that. Okay, so let's look at change personally, and I'm gonna add in this a little bit spiritually. I wanna show you a verse to start off. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I've used this verse a couple of different times over the last few months, and I don't know if you've noticed that, but it's been a bit intentional because I've been wanting to kind of pepper into our minds this particular verse because it is so important for us to understand. Look at what it says. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ or is a Christ follower has become a new, did you see that? A new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Why is this important? Because listen, I got good news for you. If your life is messed up, or I said this last week, jacked up from the floor up, if that's your life, I have good news. God says, if you'll let me, I'm gonna come in there and do something about that. And not only do I wanna do something about it, not only do I wanna make your bad life kind of a little bit better or kind of make it good, it's just, I wanna make it, can we put that back up there so I can keep pointing to it? We wanna make it new. I wanna make you a new person. And some of you are like, I need my spouse to do that. Pray and bring them in February. We're gonna do a marriage series. That was free advertisement right there.
But you get the point, right? Don't think about that with your spouse, by the way. I'm just saying. God says, I want to come into your life and make it new. I want to do something in you. And it's not just a want. I can and I will if you will allow me in. And so first change, I think we got to talk about before you can start talking about your personal life and all the things we're going to navigate and all the difficult things. We got to remember that God wants to change you and he wants to change me. And I can tell you, after walking with God for, we'll say 18 years maybe, really just chasing after him, I'm a different person than I was before him by a mile. Gosh, what he could do. Okay, I got to move a little faster. We're going so change. Now watch what happens next. There's another verse that we can bleed over into. Once God comes in and says, I'm going to make you a new creation, there's still a little bit of a process for you and I. And the process now is, hey, as we're navigating life, we got to be careful that we don't absorb things that aren't going to help push us closer and closer to God. So look what Romans 12 says. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now listen, you and I are constantly absorbing things. We absorb everything around us, whether it's intentional or not. And so this encouragement is just, hey, if we've given our life to Christ, we want to make sure that we are absorbing things that are connected to him as well. You're going to absorb the other stuff. You really can't get away from it. I guess unless you locked yourself in a closet, and that's just not what we preach here at this church, okay? But you're going to absorb things. So we got to make sure we're absorbing things of God. That's spending time reading his word, coming into church and coming into service and listening to the teaching and the music and processing, praying, getting into a small group, another plug, you're welcome, getting into a small group, connecting with people, asking questions, having conversations. The more we can absorb of God, guess what? The more he can transform our minds. And guess what? It's in that process of making us new. So there is a personal connection here. That change is to be expected. It's a good thing. But there's another side, and that's situational. There's a situational change that's going to happen in your life. Many of them. It's when things are going this way, and all of a sudden they turn that way. There's a great quote I wanted to share with you from an author and a blogger, and she said this. I thought this was great. Mandy Hale said this. Change is painful, but nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere you don't belong. Now, I don't know, maybe for 98% of us, that was irrelevant, but there may be somebody here that needed to hear something about that right there. Being stuck somewhere you don't belong. So in our life, there are going to be moments where we're going to experience what I would describe as situational change. And I thought it would be awesome to share with you a story you might not be as familiar with to help us understand this a little bit better. It's a story about a guy named Paul. Paul, you might be familiar with. He is littered all throughout the New Testament, author of many of the letters in the New Testament. But Paul, in his life, in particular on his missionary and his ministry journey, he had an experience that not everyone is as familiar with. One day, Paul is out navigating, so he is planting churches, he's preaching the good news, and he ends up getting arrested. And he's arrested and he's in custody, and they decide, hey, we're going to send you to Rome, and to send you to Rome, we're going to have to put you on a boat to transport you here to Rome. You can find this in Acts 27 through 28, just so you're aware. Well, while he's on that boat and as a prisoner, something happens. There's a massive storm that takes over the water, and Paul's boat, along with everyone that's on the boat, gets shipwrecked. And they end up on a deserted, stranded island named Malta. And then while he gets to the island, though they have survived the shipwreck, he's still a prisoner. While he's there, he's lending a hand, likely getting ready to build a fire. And so he goes to grab some wood. And when he goes and bends down to grab the wood, guess what happens? He gets bit by a venomous snake. So let's recap real quick. I was preaching the good news of Jesus, which y'all tell us to do here at church all the time. He gets arrested, thrown on a boat, a storm comes, trashes the boat, lands him on a deserted island, and then while he's trying to still be helpful, a prisoner now stranded on an island, he gets bit by a viper. Following Jesus is amazing. Sign up tonight. It's gonna be so good. So good. But watch what happens. It's a long story, so I'm not reading. I'm just paraphrasing for you. Acts 27, 28. Read it on your own. It's an amazing story. But I want you to see something. That snake bite, everyone on the island particularly, they knew exactly what that was. And they knew that that bite, because in that time they didn't have what we have today, that bite's going to kill him. And so all eyes are kind of on Paul as they wait for him to die. But guess what? He doesn't. In fact, that poison has zero effect, or that venom has zero effect on him. And in that moment, God was using his sovereign power, things beyond sometimes our even understanding of how he does some of this. But God did a miracle. And he saved Paul from dying from that snake. But here's what happened. Because the people were watching and waiting for him to die, and he didn't. All of the sudden, everybody on the island wanted to know who that guy is. And in the process of finding out who he is, guess what they found? The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And scriptures tell us in Acts 28 that many came to Christ and were healed. That Paul was able to do a miraculous work. However, let me backtrack for just a second to remind you. Paul was on a journey to share the good news, and everything changed multiple times. But listen, if God hadn't made that change, there's an island of people that would have missed out on hearing the good news of what Jesus can do in their life. See, sometimes our situational changes, the things that happen in life, we had a job and now we are moving to this job. We thought we weren't never going to have kids and now we have kids. Whatever it could be, sometimes God is using those changes to move his story forward. But for us, we can get worked up and we can get frustrated because we didn't expect the change. We don't like the change. The change is hard, and many times they are. But listen, if we will remind ourselves that change is to be expected, especially when we follow God, we'll respond better when he does things like this. There's another great quote from Alan Watts. He's a philosopher. I've been reading a lot this week, if you can't tell. You're welcome. You didn't have to read. I got to read for you. Here's what he said. The only way to make sense out of change, this is good, is to plunge into it, move with it, and join the dance. Now, I'm not a good dancer, but I'd like to apply that to my life because there's been a whole lot of moments in my life where things have changed and I couldn't see what in the world God was doing until I got a chance to look back. By the way, that's most of the time when it's with God. We don't always see it in the moment, but when we look back, we see that God was at work. And so change is inevitable. But here's the big thing. If we know that it's coming, and we can maybe prepare ourselves a little bit better to try to contain and control our emotions so we don't get overworked up, that I want to encourage you with this. What really matters when you and I encounter change, and I think some of you might be walking through it right now, what really matters is how we respond and react to change. And I want to show you really quickly tonight that there is a difference between a response to something and a reaction to something. Though they sound similar, they are actually two different things. Let me show you what a reaction is first. A reaction to something in life, particularly to change, is this. It's often impulsive, instinctive, and driven by emotion. It's often immediate. Something happens in front of you and you react. Some of us are a little quick-tempered, so we react with anger. Others of us are just quick to move, and so we react just moving away from something. We either react or we respond. Now, in addition to that, reaction is fueled by oftentimes, you gotta understand where it comes from to better process what's happening. It's often fueled by fear, anxiety, or a desire to protect one's comfort zone. But the other side of this, instead of reacting, is responding. It's response. Look at the difference. This is so helpful.
A response is more deliberate, more conscious, and purposeful. And it is, unlike with the reaction, the next piece, is guided by wisdom, rationality, and a desire to navigate new circumstances. There is a radical difference between reaction and response. So for me, I'll give you a couple illustrations to help this unpack. I coach flag football of six-year-olds. Why are you laughing? It's great, so great, because my son's on the team. We have in this season been trying to teach these young six-year-olds. There's a few seven-year-olds. Not quite sure they're actually seven, but there's a few seven-year-olds. Six-year-olds, and we're trying to help them understand defense, and particularly how, hey, when you let someone go around you, they usually score a touchdown. And so we've been trying to help them understand, hey, let's not let anyone get around you. Let's slide over and push them in so that your teammates can help pull the flags, right? And so we spent this past weekend, hopefully none of your kids were there, we spent all weekend practice preparing for defense, running drills, beating it into their minds, don't let them outside of you, don't let them outside of you. You're going to do it? No, don't let them outside. Let's go. And guess what? We get on the field, coach is pumped because this is going to be a new day and a new game and a new way. And guess what happens two plays in? There he goes, all the way to 90-something yard, all the way down. And in that moment, I realized God was getting me ready for this message tonight because I got a choice. I can either react or I can respond. I can react. I can bench that six-year-old. I can let him know how little his mind is that he couldn't pay attention for the hour we worked on one thing, bro, one thing. Or I could take a breath, remind myself that he's six. By the way, you're wondering, which one did he do? He'll never know. No, I'm just kidding. I did respond, but probably because the Lord was doing this message in me already, if I'm just being honest. So here's what happened on that particular Saturday. I took a breath. I reminded myself he's six, and I walked on over there. I won't say his name. Walked on over there, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, hey, buddy, how you doing? He's like, well, not good, coach. I said, yeah, me either. I said, hey, man, so what do you think happened? He's like, I don't know. He scored a touchdown. I'm like, yeah, he did. How did he get there? Well, he went that way. I said, yeah. So you remember when we were practicing for an hour and 15 minutes? Do you remember? I didn't say that. I thought that. Do you remember when we were practicing, and we said, hey, let's push him in. So what? Our teammates can help pull the flag. And he goes, yeah, I remember that, coach. And I said, okay, man. Hey, next time, let's see if we can do that, okay? And he goes, I got it. Here's what I realized in that moment, by the way, that I think he got excited, and I'm a little loud if you can't tell. And so he was like, yeah, coach, yeah, you're right. I'm going to do that, whatever you said. But I don't know if he really understood it at 6 years old. But now we had a frame of reference. Now we can look back on something that happened and go, that's what happens when we don't do it. I was pitching the Bible to you early on today. This is what it looks like. He had a frame of reference. Guess what happened the next play? He turned that fool in. Some of you are like, he scored a touchdown. No, he turned that fool inside, and it was a girl. Okay, he turned that girl inside, and we yanked that flag, and we won the game, and I won't tell you about how much, and it was awesome. There's a difference between reacting to something and responding. Let me give you one more quickly. You have a massive change at your job or maybe an organization that you volunteer at. And all of a sudden, you've been transitioned into a new role or a new position or a new place. And you're being asked to do something that you don't really want to do. Everything has changed. And maybe it's stuff that happened all around you, had nothing to do with you, but you're the one that's stuck in the place now having to go to somewhere new or to try something new. And you have the choice. I've had this a few times in life, to react or respond. I can react, get mad, I can quit, I can say a bunch of things, probably end up in trouble, get a little black mark on my name because of how I reacted to certain situations, or I could respond. I can say, you know what, I don't like this, I'm not sure I understand this, but I'm gonna believe something good can come of it, and maybe what you might find, because I found this in my life, is what happens. I developed a new skill. I realized that, hey, this wasn't even about me at all. God was putting me there so that I could help maybe move something forward. I was going to be a part of helping in a time of need, even though it wasn't necessarily something I wanted to do. See, when we respond versus react, we have more control, we take more time, and we do what God has always desired for us to do, which is to stop looking around for all the answers and look up at him and say, Lord, whatever you're doing, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to trust you, even though I don't quite like where we are. There's a difference. We are going to experience change in our life. And I'm hoping that we can get off the roller coaster of emotion and frustration and anger and the delay we so often cause in moving to the next thing by simply reminding ourselves, man, this is going to happen. This isn't a surprise. And more importantly, God is in control. We look at change sometimes and we think it's some big trial. This big, oh, my life, I'm being tested beyond. And there's times that's true, but oftentimes it's just God going, I got something better for you. That relationship, that long relationship you were in, it ended, and I know it's heartbreaking, but there's someone that is better that I have for you. I just need you to trust me. You're leaving this job, but I got a better opportunity over here. Hey, there's a delay in something, but don't worry because I got something better over here. We trust the hand of God that he is at work. But I do want to say one more thing too. And that is this. As great as change is, I think growth requires change. That's good. I think sometimes you get to the right place, you got to leave the wrong place. As great as change is, there is one small caveat that I want you to remember. And that is it is also possible to have to experience change because of something that wasn't good, or better put, something that was bad. That maybe you reacted to something in a way that wasn't a good response, but rather an emotional reaction, and you ended up in change because of something you did that wasn't helpful. There's another amazing story, and I'll just throw it at you real quick just to leave, and you can go read this. Numbers, the book of Numbers, a great book to read. Just read it carefully. Numbers 20, though, there's an amazing story about Moses. And Moses is leading the Israelites out of captivity. He's led them out of Egyptian slavery. And they are on their way to the promised land. And of course, there's been challenges. They're on a long journey. But God has provided for them. God has led them. He's held them up. He's supported them. Things are looking good. And all signs point to Moses being the guy to lead them into this promised land, to be the hero, if you will, that took us from slavery to freedom, from darkness to beauty. And Moses is on this amazing path. But then there's this moment in Numbers 20 where Moses lets his emotions get the best of him. He does something silly and he loses the opportunity to lead the people into the promised land. And God says, you and your brother Aaron, you are not going to be the ones. You're going to get them right to the edge. And then you're going to move out of the way. Because you couldn't control your reaction. You didn't do what I asked you to do. And so God moves Moses and Aaron away. And Joshua steps in and ends up leading the people into the promised land. And the good news is they got there. It was a long journey. They went through some struggle. Moses led them a big way. Moses was monumental in the history of our faith. But I want you to see something. How we react to things matters. And I don't want you to react or overreact or to just make a mistake that keeps you from experiencing what God has for your life. Moses missed out on the best part of the journey, which was crossing that line and saying, guys, we made it to the promised land. I don't want that for you. So I want to encourage you, as you're navigating your life, remember those verses that we talked about. God makes you a new creation. And then he says, I want you to allow me to be to take over your life, absorb me in oh, so many different ways so that I can change your thinking. I can change your perspective. I can give you strength when things don't make sense. And then you can follow me. And when you experience change, and you will,
You won't be frustrated about it, though it'll be tough. You'll remember, hey, this isn't good. I don't know. I'm not sure. But God's in control. He always has been. He always will be. So bring it on. Whatever it is, I'm going to believe there's something better waiting for me on the other side. We know it's coming. Let's prepare for it. Let's not get all emotional when change happens. Remember this night. I hope it's helpful. And next time change comes, go, whoa, this is going to be awesome. No idea what God's doing. It's a bit scary, but let's see what he does. And I'm telling you, if we walk with him, let him transform our mind, let him be a part of our life and be the one leading us, I'm telling you, on the other side will always be something that only God could do. So it's coming. Don't be surprised. Let's be ready, and then let's get ready to watch God work.